This is audiobook made via Ivona Reader of an English, 2019, new translation of the book from the 60s, but from happenings in 1958. Idiarysis inverted question mark UFO contact from planet Akkart. How the Brazilian Arthur Bullitt was abducted and brought to planet Akkart by a mistake in 1958, but was brought back after several days. The Akkart UFO case. Book of Arthur Bullitt. From his abduction to planet Akkart in 1958. Foreword to the Portuguese first edition 1967. It was thanks to bank director Carlos de Oliveira Gomes of Sarandi, Banco do Brasil, that he discovered the peculiar adventure of the tractor driver from Sarandi County Council, Arthur Bullitt. One day Carlos invited Bullitt to his place, Rudy Schmidt was present and myself. We bombarded Bullitt for 7.5 hours with our probing questions, which Bullitt answered with great composure and naturalness to our general satisfaction. Arthur Bullitt told us that he had been taken to another planet and spent there 8 Earth days, May 14th to May 23rd, 1958. We met with Mr. Bullitt several times, but never the slightest suspicion of untruth appeared. Mr. Bullitt never tried to get money from his story, and he was often offered financial help with the goal of him not disclosing his experience or its events, which he rejected again and again. Until his personal acquaintance with Mr. Bullitt in 1965, 7 precious years had passed since his experience, all wasted time. How many times he might have preached in vain in the desert of the religious and political Thebes, for the narrow-mindedness of the people around him was so great that the best statement that was made about him was that Bullitt, the mayor of Sarandi, anxious to gain some publicity for his city and for himself, had arranged for Bullitt to visit the state capital, Porto Alegre. There, however, he was unlucky on TV by being unprepared for questions. Eventually, he was even portrayed as a dangerous person by a person posing as an official UFO researcher, who spent hours trying to learn all that was useful to him from his adventure. In August 1965, when we were already convinced of Bullitt's story, Dr. Walter Barr, one quarter from the Rio UFO Journal or a Brazilian Study Society over flying discs, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, one that encouraged us to collect all the information and publish Bullitt's experience. In the published manuscript, we want to emphasize its underlying honesty. It corresponds exactly to Bullitt's notes, which he had originally written down in 14 exercise books and written according to his modest school education. But here one recognizes his integrity, and the clear and precise descriptions of details become obvious. Also, the natural psychological justifications are addressed quite openly and without embellishment. The published material is far from literary acclaim. The author described the experience in his own simple way, but only sometimes the sentence was grammatically improved to facilitate the reader's understanding, with a few local expressions. Be it from the state of Grand or the German or Italian colony, generally, linguistically comprehensible expressions have been replaced or explained. Without a doubt, Mr. Bullitt learned German during his youth before he learned the Portuguese language. Born in the county of Sarandi, until a few years ago he was still employed as a tractor driver for the mayor's office until he lost a leg during a blast in a quarry. He was retired after that. Nevertheless, he has kept his good looks to this day, is powerfully built, has tanned skin, chestnut hair and blue eyes, of Germans and French ancestry, who had mixed with Portuguese and natives. No trace of mental weakness can be found in him, as a malicious press has tried to slander him on occasion. He is known throughout Sarandi as an honest and sincere man, and I believe he has come to a deep inner realization through the experiences he has received through his journey to another planet, to the benefit of himself and his followers. Although Bullitt had been provided with minute data on the planet he visited, they do not all seem to agree with the data of the planets we know, except for the fact that Bullitt saw 2 moons of an artificial nature which were spoken of in relation to the planet Mars. On the whole, however, we can say of Bullitt's manuscript that it points to the existence of spiritually and morally more developed worlds, be they in our own solar system or in our galaxy or other Milky Way galaxy. If Bullitt's mission is to open our eyes to all of our petty and millennia-old arrogance and prejudices on Earth, and if it was the meaning of Bullitt's travelogue and understood by the reader to send us a message of humanity to develop morally, the author and we, his helpers, would be satisfied in every way. The author of this book, Arthur Bullitt, would have fulfilled much of his promise to humanity on Akkad, which he visited. Rio de Janeiro, November 1967. Jorge Ernesto Macedo Geisel. Dr. Walter Barr 1 Quarterla, foreword to the Portuguese first edition 1967. Nonetheless, it moves. These were the words of that famous astronomer of the Middle Ages, Galileo Galilei. Even if these words are not authentic, they express the struggle of science of that epoch, of having to get used to the monstrous and revolutionary idea that the Earth, from its generally accepted position as the center of the whole universe, the Sun should be degraded to become a simple satellite of the universe. As in the case of the great philosophical transformation of Galileo, we stand on the eve of another upheaval in the worldview of today, as evidenced by the apparent penetration of civilizations from outer space that are more advanced in their development than Earth's Homo sapiens. Ever greater doubts arise, not only of our technical but also of our philosophical superiority. The more so as the creatures of outer space, who are far stronger than we are, make no attempt to conquer the Earth, but have just observed us for many long years, is already evident from ancient traditions, which are now reaffirmed by this report. In view of the fact that the civilizations of the universe are demonstrating their presence more and more often, we Earthlings must use all our scientific knowledge and moral forces together to study this problem freely and openly. To do this, the public must be informed regularly and immediately about all results. But instead of doing so, for the past 20 years there has been a conspiracy of vast proportions that denies and distorts the facts. Clearly, clarification cannot be achieved without removing from our knowledge of the past certain restricting elements and using new insights and concepts. Obviously, it is the disappointment of such failures that led the Roman Catholic professor of Santos, São Paulo, Dos de Freitas Guimarães, who himself had an experience with other planet beings, to say, "How it is a pity that people whom I thought were cultivated have proved unable to admit facts. Namely the fact of the existence of intelligent beings on other planets and that they come to Earth. They have not even allowed the serious researchers to hypothesize about it." All her great conviction is thus completely contrary to the reality of the matter, which is dismissed by those with a smirk. In the past, and even nowadays, the peoples of our turbulent planet have been oriented and still are oriented mainly to motives of exploitation and the pursuit of power, domination of the strong over the weak. All being justified, allegedly, with the remark it is the instinct of survival. To imagine the present action of the beings from outer space, one must assume that they are observers of the excessive use of all our technology in the direction of space in a very different light than we imagine. You are justified in realizing that we managed to shoot A and H bombs into the atmosphere in a relatively short time. In our thinking today, it is incomprehensible that there may be beings who are incomparably stronger than we are, who regard us not only out of curiosity, but out of a sense of compassion or fraternal friendship between the stronger, the more intelligent and the more developed, the weaker here on Earth, who has plunged into a limitless danger of self-destruction. This could only happen because we lack the self-criticism and true knowledge that other civilizations in the universe have long since possessed. It seems as if we are currently so conditioned against it, that we are unable to engage in a discussion on the subject of interplanetary spacecraft even if we wanted to. This topic is dismissed as nonsense, charlatanism, utopian thinking, and so on, or as a religious cult. They even go so far as to try to suppress our consciences. The great nuclear physicist Oppenheimer, for example, was described by his attending physician as insane when he expressed his fear that he and his co-workers' use of atomic energy could possibly bring about our own apocalypse. Anyone who reads Bullitt's book and considers it seriously, will certainly remember the impression that the experience of meeting the crews of alien spaceships make, Likewise George Adamski, Professor Freitas Guimarães, about him in that book, Antonio Rossi, and others. Thus, our reader may well be aware of the true problem, as well as his share of responsibility, to seriously face the problem regarding the common good and its intellectual and moral obligations. Who knows if certain research groups dealing with this problem will eventually begin to identify the flying crafts as objects that come out of space, and in public, rather than in secret gatherings, to educate their members about the universally human, spiritual meaning of this problem, not just about its technical side. This educational work has been ongoing since 1956 by the German UFO, IFO study societies, Wiesbaden on a global scale. 1. Through the monthly UFO news, which reaches its readers in 76 countries of all continents. 2. Through publications of the Ventler Publishing House of approximately 45 UFO books and brochures. 3. Through more than 500 slideshows in 14 countries, including many radio interviews and TV programs held by the president of DUIST. Their lectures at domestic and foreign universities deserve special mention. 4. By international congresses. The last 10. Intercontinental Convention of UFO Researchers took place in Wiesbaden from September 29 to October 1, 1972. This memorable occasion brought scientists and contact persons from three continents together for the first time. Only discussions of UFO sightings everywhere are not enough. Why are they visiting us? What should we do? This book also tries to answer this. DH, since the latter carries great political temptations, this part in particular is vigorously studied by the military. But that is only a small fraction of the problem, and it is not meant to justify keeping the whole question secret behind the curtain of secrecy and mystery revealed only a very small part of human society, to the benefit of our leaders and governments. Movies, such as for example, The Invaders presented to the public by some television stations put the ET issue in the wrong light, as they always portray the off-world as enemies of man, repeatedly being portrayed as aggressive invaders. Your thoughts are guided along counter-attacking military lines. If they did not withhold the truth from the public, there would never be such prejudice, fear and panic. Let us leave the book to the reader so that he thinks and acts according to his own conscience. Foreword by the author. You may also know that in Brazil, as in other parts of the world, there are many thousands of ATMs in which mentally ill people spend parts, or even the rest of their lives. Among them are people who are mistaken only because their views differ from those of the rest of humanity. All people with such advanced ideas dare to subject their fellow human beings on this earth to a thorough examination. They feel that human life is on the wrong track and try to show by courageous confessions the way to the natural course of things. Almost all of these pioneers, in my view, run the risk of having to leave this world of freewheeling fools in order to disappear in the hallway of the madhouse. But are they really including the most dangerous ones that should be discouraged from spreading their thoughts? Is not it much more likely that even more dangerous people are walking around in this world, who, through their direction, in one word or one gesture, could help to make humanity disappear from the earth? Who are they? They are statesmen and scientists of our time who are frozen in their feelings of power and revenge. Every thinking person feels how the catastrophe is approaching. Most of us are too lazy to go against it. They let things run their course and operate a bird-ostrich policy. In fact, the evolution of the human race is in decline, despite the many technical advances. We will soon, almost without realizing it, land again on the cavemen level, who in their day had to fight against all hardships of life in order to save their lives. Life was worth something to them, while today quite a few people use their skills to destroy their lives and that of their descendants. Many of them are already at an advanced age and have almost climbed steps that lead to a carefree life. They have earned money and all the honors of this world and yet go to hell because they continue to sacrifice thousands of lives for personal gain. Why doesn't a TMT man think of life itself and live the years that have been given to him, in peace and quiet? Perhaps he does not think that he can be parted from life at any moment. Then what is honor, wealth and fame worth? He cannot take anything, to the grave, of these goods. Those who do not consider that, are the real fools. I would like to say that I am neither a scientist nor a statesman nor a psychiatrist. If I have preceded this small consideration, it is so only to give the reader a comparison and to prepare him for the following. Note that there is a translation of this book via W. Stevens in the USA in the 80s, but that edition does not have searchable content as it is based on JPG image files, question and answer. We will pretend for the moment that you are interrogating me. You ask the questions and I answer them. Theme: I was taken to another planet. Question: when did this happen and where? Answer: in May 1958, in the municipality of Sarandi, Rio Grande do Sul. Question: what was the vehicle used to get you there from Earth? Answer: that of another planet. Question: what is the name of this planet? Answer: Itatiames inhabitants call it Akart, for us it may possibly be called Mars. Question: why possibly Mars? Answer: because I do not know exactly where our planet brothers live in our solar system. They could not, or did not want to explain that to me. Question: did you volunteer to go with them, or were you abducted against your will? Answer: neither one nor the other was the case. It went like this. I walked on a lonely road. It was already dark towards Sarandi when I saw a strange, luminous object near a farm. I left the road and approached the object to verify what it was. There was no one around, so I went closer, and when I reached about 10 yards, two creatures appeared, pointing a strong beam of light at me. This blinded me and rendered me unconscious. I woke up about 30 hours later, when I found myself in another place. It was only later that I learned that these beings had come to Earth to gather plant seeds and vegetables for experimental purposes. The commander assumed I was a farmer and decided to take me with them, although the rest of the crew was against it, because according to their laws, there are heavy penalties for those who touch or cause harm to a human being, and they are severely punished. This also happened in my case. The commander was relieved of his position as a spaceship pilot and demoted to a simple worker in the solar steel mines. I, logically, asked to be brought back to Earth. Question: what did this spaceship look like and how did it move? Answer: it was round and had a diameter of about 20 to 30 meters. It had the shape of two bowls, one inverted over the other, and was powered by solar energy. Question: what is the distance to this planet? Answer: about 62 million kilometers. Question: what was the speed of the ship? Answer: in space about 400 to 500 kilometers per second, within the Earth's atmosphere maybe a tenth that, 40 to 50 kilometers per second. Question: why this difference? Answer: because the ship works in space with a gravity engine, but in the atmosphere with rotary engines. Question: what do the people of this planet look like? Answer: they look like us, you could say, but they have a paler complexion. Everyone I saw had straw-colored hair except for a few who had darker hair. On average, they were slightly taller than we Earthlings. I got the impression that their blood is not red, but purple. Question: how did you contact them? In any language or just with signs and gestures? Answer: in German. Question: are you saying that they speak the languages AA of Earth? Answer: yes, several, at least the most widely spoken languages. Question: how can that be? Answer: they told me that learning languages AA is something that requires a lot of work on their behalf, and several journeys to Earth. They photographed signs, recorded broadcasts, voices, etc., and made comparisons. They eventually come to acquire books in the languages AA that they are interested in. Question: they have been here several times. Over what time period? Answer: over about 10 Akashan years. These periods will be defined later. Question: then they probably know a lot about us? Answer: I believe that 50% of them know about our Earth, whereas only about 10% of us Earth dwellers know what goes on here. Question: do they believe in God or a supreme being? Answer: yes, they believe in God. Question: what is their standard of living? Answer: very high, because they are a civilization that one could say are approaching perfection. Question: then the Donya TMT have the problems that plague us? Answer: no, on the contrary. They have a very serious problem, overpopulation. Question: have they any plans to resolve their overpopulation problem? Answer: yes, they have. Question: what plans? Answer: plans that are at our expense. Question: how? In which way? Do they want to attack the earth and invade us? Answer: no, they do not intend to do that. But if they did not have such a high view, moral of humanity and religion, they might do so. Question: please clarify. Answer: as I said, they have been observing our earth for decades. They know all our plans and intentions, our least movements do not escape them. Question: do they come back to earth repeatedly? Do they have a permanent presence here? Answer: they leave the earth, so to speak, only in the periods in which earth and Akkad are at their closest approach. The rest of the time they use our moon as a stopover, despite its sterility. On Earth itself, they station themselves in remote places. Their ships can stay in space for up to a year without having to be resupplied with oxygen or food, drink. Question: what is their end game? Answer: it is this, as I said, they have to solve the problem of overpopulation. From the experience they have gained, they have come to the conclusion that, after a certain period of acclimatization, they could live very well on our Earth. But already with them the thought arose that in some of our countries we already have large populations, and also among us humans there are many racial mixtures. What they should do? Subject to the Earth to genocide. They have the power to do this in a few minutes. However, their conscience forbids such an act. We have been close to the massive use of terrestrial nuclear weapons, warring on each other. This would have resulted in the almost total annihilation of the Earth's inhabitants. But for the Akashans this would be their chance to come here and inhabit the Earth without themselves harming an Earth human. They know our nuclear mutually assured destruction plans. Yes, they know about each manufactured bomb and where it is stored. They also know word for word the plans of all the governments of the Earth. They know that the destruction of at least 75% of the world's population is imminent, without the slightest contribution from them. Remark: this was said, considered in 58, and today the karmic situation for Earth may have been changed. And they seemingly do not know how this Earth is also overseen, guarded, by higher developed races than themselves. R.A. Sidilla remark: if they wanted, they, meaning the Akashan people, could hasten such nuclear devastation by interfering with radar systems or in-flight aircraft or whatever to precipitate total war. This would be one of the ways to realize their plans. But they told me that such actions had never been carried out and would not be carried out in the future. Question: but what good would a nuclear polluted Earth do them, or can it be cleaned up? Answer: that is not a problem for them. They, too, once had an atomic age, which they have overcome thanks to their many-sided insights. They have a mentality different from ours, where we make weapons to destroy ourselves. We have nothing in hand to save ourselves from complete destruction. The Akashans have devices that allows them to convert the destructive atomic poisons into fertilizer within a few hours. Creatures and vegetation would revive. This is how it stands. If there is a total annihilation of our Earth's surface, no one will benefit but them. Question: if we are already talking about their power and their means, can you give us some details of their weapons? Answer: their weapons are limited in two ways, the solar disintegrator and the solar neutralizer. The latter is also used in medicine and as a kind of industrial disinfectant in farming. Question: speaking of farming, what do they eat? What food is grown by them? Answer: similar to us on Earth, from vegetables and meat, fish and other products. Of course, there are big differences between their food and ours, basically, different plants and fruit etc. When I was on Akkad, I ate almost exclusively fish and kind of dark bread. The latter is made from seeds of a plant similar to the coffee beans, but it is a kind of crop that grows on trees. Question: and what is the climate like? Answer: it is very cold. If you want to go out during the day, you have to dress warmly. There is hardly any walking around outside at night. If they do go out after dark, it is only in dense clothing. Question: are the days the like hours? Answer: no, an Akkad day has 46 hours versus our 24. Question: and how is the year divided? Answer: 1 year has 353 local days. There is one leap year with 352 days every 6 years. Question: what do they use for mass transport? Answer: mainly in the air. I only saw wheeled vehicles on a farm and also a kind of train. These drive fully automatically underground and have no train driver. On platforms are some small levers that are pushed forward when a prospective passenger sees a train approach. The train then stops and the door opens. When you get in, the door closes. The entered person operated a lever and the train starts moving again. To bring it to a halt, it is enough to open the door. Each carriage has a door on each side. All doors must be closed before the train can continue driving. There are also heavy cargo carrying vehicles. They employ ships that travel in space. These are intended for transport and go to the respective 8 airports at EM of the spaceships. But the main means of transport for people is a small 8-mare ship at EM for 2 to 10 people. These aircraft have no wings and only one pilot. They are powered by 2 solar engines. One of these engines is located on the front of the flying ship, the other on top, similar to a helicopter rotor. These ships can stop in the middle of the flight. They are made of a high resistant and very lightweight material. Question: does their planet have satellites similar to our moon? Answer: no, it has none. There are 2 huge space platforms orbiting the planet. These have thousands of vehicles stationed on them, ready for any eventuality. Initially, I thought these were natural satellites, eventually realized day after it was explained to me that they were simply artificial platforms. Question: how are the cities built there? Answer: similar to ours. The streets are quite narrow and serve only pedestrian traffic. The houses are similar to ours, except that on each of the 4 walls of the house there is a small deck on which the small ships stand. The houses are neither built of wood or brick, nor of cement. The building material is a very light steel sheet in different colors. I think they are made of the same material as the ships. In my opinion, these houses, buildings and skyscrapers with more than 100 floors are prefabricated. In daylight, the multicolored reflections hurt the eyes like the sun. At night, the streets have no need for illumination, due to the luminosity of the tall buildings. Inside, all rooms are lined with a thick, velvety fabric. Question: what is the government system? Answer: well, I do not know what they call it. I cannot find any expression for it. I think it's something like this: take a little of each of our systems and give the whole thing a common name. In my following narrative, I mentioned various details about their laws and customs. Question: did the Akkashans want you to keep your experience secret? Answer: no, because they know anyway that hardly anyone on Earth was going to believe such a fairy tale. Question: but what if you were believed? Answer: this would prolong the existence of the men of Earth, because then man would realize that they must abolish the nuclear weapons. Question: how long did your journey take? Answer: 8 days. Question: did you bring back any proof of your trip? Answer: I brought back much less when I took with me. I arrived there with a full stomach. When we flew back, they let me fast for 40 hours because they feared I might throw up. Question: how was the return trip? Answer: I could tell a lot about that, but I would need many words for that, and at least 20 to 30 sheets of paper. Therefore, a detailed description would be too difficult at the moment. As I said in the beginning, you will find everything in my written account. Question, were you returned at the same place from where you were taken from? Answer, no, they set me down quite far from my city. I had to walk for a long time, which made me very tired. I was pretty weak.